Amen. The part of the chapter we're going to focus on this morning is in chapter 2, verse number 9, where the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Verse 10, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And the title of the sermon this morning is this: a chosen generation. A chosen generation. When we think of a generation, we think of an entire body of individuals that are born and they're living around the same time. It's a term that's really used to group people together that have the same ideas, problems, attitudes, failures, and successes, right? And we could spend a whole sermon talking about the failures and the successes, the wicked and the sinfulness and the godliness of many generations. We think of the greatest generation. That describes those who grew up in the United States during the deprivation of the Great Depression and then went on to fight in World War II. This is what they would call the G.I. Joe generation. This is the tough generation. These are the people who knew how to struggle. They knew how to strive. They knew how to be content with what they had because they didn't have much. I also call the greatest generation. Then you have the baby boomer generation. These are the children that the greatest generation birthed. Baby boomers are associated with the rejection and redefinition of traditional values. They're really the ones who are responsible for like the sexual revolution. You know, all the wickedness that came into our country during their time, they're the ones who introduced that. And by the way, commercial break right here. I'm thankful this week, I got some good news that Hugh Hefner died.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
I'm thankful that adulterous, fornicating, wicked man is burning in hell today. That's a good thing.
Yep.
And by the way, he's a pedophile.
Yep.
He's like, no. He was just all about, no. He promoted pedophilia in his Playboy magazines.
Yep.
He died at the age of 91, and guess what? 2 months, he didn't die any sooner.
Amen.
Because he defiled many minds of many people, and he's responsible for what's taken place, or what took place in the baby boomer generation. I'm thankful he's dead.
Yep.
That's a good thing to rejoice about. I got that notification. I said, praise God, that guy's dead.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that he's burning in hell today. That's a good thing. Amen?
Amen.
But the baby boomer generation was responsible for the sexual revolution, Woodstock, the acceptance of filth and sodomy. Then you have what's called the Generation X. Members of Generation X were children during a time of shifting societal values, and as children were sometimes called latchkey generation. Simply because they would come home and, you know, mom is out working, and so they had the keys to the house. They would come in. They had no supervision whatsoever. They're also called the MTV generation because they just sit there and watch MTV and just fill their mind with a bunch of filth and music and garbage. They're characterized as slackers and cynical. Then you have my generation. The millennial generation. Although millennial characteristics vary by region depending on social and economic conditions, the generation is generally marked by an increased use and familiarity with communications, media, and digital technologies. This is the generation that lives in front of their computer, lives in front of the iPad, lives in front of the iPhone. They know technology more than any other generation. And this is a generation really that's become very lazy. It's the hipster generation, right? And all these generations, you can really go through each generation and look at the pros and cons of each. The wickedness of each one, but also the righteousness of each one. Because let me say this, there's always been a remnant, right?
Amen.
Throughout all these generations, there's always been a chosen generation. And whether you are a baby boomer, or maybe you've known someone who came from the greatest generation, or maybe you're sitting in here today and you say, well, I'm a millennial. No, if we're God's people, we're the chosen generation.
Amen.
You see, the chosen generation of God has never been limited to a certain amount of time. It's been here for thousands of years. This is the generation that has existed. This is the godly, righteous, holy generation that God wants to use mightily for his purpose. This is the chosen generation. By the way, when we say chosen, we're not talking about that Calvinist crap. Okay? All the elected, those are the chosen. No, we don't believe in that. All right? We'll preach on that in the future. But let me say this. The stupidest thing about Calvinism, okay, is that Jesus told the 12 disciples, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil?
Yeah.
How can you be a devil and be chosen? Right? That flies in the face of Calvinism right there. And anytime I talk to a Calvinist person, I say, well, what about Judas? He was chosen. In fact, Jesus said, have not I chosen you? And yet he called him a devil.
Yep.
Doesn't work. Now, before we get into the secondary application, let me give you a primary interpretation of what we just read. You're in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9. We're going to read this again. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, go with me if you would to Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to show you where actually this comes from. Exodus chapter number 19. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, this is whom he's writing to. "To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Now, if you were to ask the most common independent fundamental Baptist church, they'll say, well, the elect are who? The Jews, right? They'll say, that's the elect, that's Israel, and you know, all Zionists, and pray for them, and all these things, right? These people are from Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then he says in verse number 2, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." He's talking to people who aren't Jews.
Right.
Okay? And he's saying that you're the elect. That's the elect. Those are the chosen generation. Now, where does that come from? Exodus chapter 19, verse number 5, the Bible reads, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant," what does that sound like? It sounds like a condition, right?
Right.
"Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So that was the children of Israel back in the day. They were the chosen people of God. He said, well, you never believe the people. No, I believe that they're the chosen people of God in the Old Testament.
Yes.
But it was with conditions, folks.
Yep. Yep. Right.
They didn't meet the conditions, so guess what? He's replaced them. Don't say replaced. They've been replaced. Jesus said, "I will take the kingdom of God from you and give it to another nation, bearing forth the fruits of it."
Amen.
That's called being replaced.
Right.
That's just it, okay? Now go with me if you went to Romans chapter number 8. His chosen people are saved people. And look, well, when I came across this truth and I was taught this truth, it was mind-blowing to think, man, God, we're not like second-class citizens in this world as Christians. We are the chosen people of God. And right now, it might be a little strange for people to like receive that, but in a couple years, it's like everyone's going to accept that.
Yep.
Everyone's going to understand this teaching that we are the chosen people of God. This is God's elect according to the word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It is God that justified, the Bible says. So who is he talking about? Justified people are the elect.
Amen.
Well, I've never read that in the Bible. We just read it right now.
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me, please? Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter number 2. And look, Romans chapter 2, we're teaching doctrine right now. I'm going to get into the secondary application, but this is really important. And I'm sure 99.9% of the people who are here this morning believe this.
Right.
Okay. But we got to talk about it. Why? Because for years we've been pumped with a bunch of false doctrine regarding this. So guess what? We're going to pump you with some good stuff.
Okay? Amen.
For years on end. We're going to get this ingrained into our hearts. Romans chapter 2, this is the verse that I read that really just made it for me right there. It says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, but not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Most people say, well, the Jews are God's chosen people because they're God's chosen people. Well, the Bible says it's not the Jews of the letter. What is it talking about? Those who supposedly follow the Old Testament, the law of God. And it says here, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What is that referring to? It's those who God recognizes.
Yep.
Whose praise is not of men. It doesn't matter what people say, what man says. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. God is the one who recognizes us as being his chosen people. That's what that means. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. And look, I don't hate Jews. Because obviously someone's going to post like on the YouTube as soon as I post this video, "Oh, you're anti-Semitic." I'm not anti-Semitic. There's not an anti-Semitic bone in my body. I witnessed to Jews.
Amen.
Okay. In fact, I witnessed to a rabbi in Monterey Park a couple months ago. He rejected it completely, obviously.
Right.
By the way, just a couple doors down, I witnessed to a Greek who got saved. Ain't that funny? Yeah. Witnessed both the Jews and to the Greek, but the Greek is the one who actually received it. What did the Jew tell me? I have a covenant with God. You know, of course I'm going to heaven. I got a covenant with God. And then he told me, don't worry about the Old Testament. He goes, you need to read the Talmud. That's what he told me. All right? So this isn't just something that Pastor Anderson got on and all these people are just, no, this is fact. I met one. I bet you that Jew doesn't even know who Pastor Stephen Anderson is. Romans chapter number 10. So we're going to look at two passages, or not two, we're going to look at two chapters here. This is very important. We'll go into the application just a little bit. Look what verse 15 says. This blows me away sometimes when I try to humbly talk to people regarding this subject, and they're just like, no, you know, we need to bow down to the Jews. It's they're God's chosen people. I want God's blessing in my life. But they can't point to a verse that really explains it. Yeah. And by the way, I'm open to talk about any verse, right? And often they'll go to chapter 11 of Romans, which we're going to get into right now, which I have a friend who says, that's the worst chapter you can use to try to prove, you know, that the Jews are supposedly God's chosen people. That's the worst chapter you can use, right? Romans chapter 10, 15 says this, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. So who's Isaiah talking to? Israel. I'm talking about Israel. Who's Moses talking about? Israel. Verse number 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not and was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to who? Israel. He saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And the chapter ends there. Now look at chapter 11, verse 1. I love this. People all, this is like the verse they like to go to, like, Romans 11, verse 1, there it is. And they'll just read that first verse, and they'll say, there you go, see? Let's look at it. Romans chapter 11, verse number 1 says, I say then, God had God cast away his people? God forbid. All right, see, there you go. Let's pray. Church is over. There it is, guys. It's right there. No, it's not done. And let me say this. I agree with verse number 1. God hath not cast away his people. Why? Because the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. He's not going to cast out his people. God hath not cast out his people. God forbid, the Bible says. Look what it goes on to say. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now who's speaking there? Paul. What is Paul? He's saved. Now, yeah, he came from Israel, the seed of Abraham, and the tribe of Benjamin, but he's saved. He says, of course God hasn't cast away his people. I'm still here. I'm saved. I'm the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Verse number 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And by the way, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, moreover, whom he did predest, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, whom he justified, then he also glorified. Now, this is the part where Zionist Christians just kind of breeze over. They just, verse 1, that's it, let's pray and go home. But no, look what it goes on to say in verse number 2. God did not cast away his people which he foreknew. Why ye not what the scriptures say? Then here's the problem with a lot of these people. They don't know what the scriptures say.
Yeah.
Right. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercessions to God against Israel? Now, I like to look at that, and sometimes I just chuckle to myself, because you know what they say, pray for Israel, pray for... Well, Elias did, but he prayed against them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there. He says, wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercessions to God against Israel? Look what he's saying. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. What is that saying? The 7,000 men did not bow the knee to Baal. They bowed the knee to God, right? Yeah. And what did Israel do? They bowed the knee to Baal.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's making the distinction there between Elias and Israel. Verse number 5 says, even so, that means likewise, then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded, the Bible says. So he says, look, right there, Israel had not obtained it, the election has. Who's the election? Elias. Who's the election? Paul. Who's the election? Moses. Saved people.
Amen.
Verse number 8. Okay, I love this part. This is a good one right here. So, by the way, that's why you got to read everything, you know?
Right.
Don't just read one verse and just make your whole doctrine off of one verse. Read the whole thing. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. Oh, now, okay, so first we talked about Moses, then Elias, Paul, right? Now we're getting into what David said. Now, the Bible says Isaiah is very bold, right? I thought Elias was pretty bold too, but look what the Bible says about David. David said, let their table be made a snare. Who's he talking about? In context, he's talking about who? Israel. And a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Now, look, let me show you something real quick. This is very important that when the New Testament quotes a scripture from the Old Testament, just go ahead and go to the Old Testament. Just go ahead and find out where that's at. And it'll kind of clarify some things, okay? Go to Psalms chapter 69. Because this is a quote from David from Psalms chapter number 69. And in fact, Romans 11 doesn't quote the whole thing. Paul didn't quote the whole thing in Romans 11, but if you go back to Psalm 69, you're going to see, the rest of the stuff that David said. Okay? In fact, you know, they would read this today. If I said the stuff that David's about to, what we're about to read, then it's like, for sure, I'm anti-Semitic. They would label David as anti-Semitic. You know, even though he's from Israel, right? Psalm 69, verse 22. This is where this comes from. Let their table... Now, according to Romans 11, obviously we know who he's talking about, right? Talking about Israel. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see. Make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold on them. Of them, let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Look what it says here. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Now this is rough right here. Verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. What is he saying? Only let them be saved. That's pretty anti-Semitic if you ask me. Looks like David pretty much hates these people. Amen. You know why? Because they hated God.
Yep.
Do not I hate them, they hate thee, O Lord. We're going to put that right here.
Yeah.
Perfect hatred.
Amen.
That's David talking. That's a man after God's own heart. Saying that. So don't come to me and tell me, oh, you're anti-Semitic. No, David's way more anti-Semitic than I am. You know, maybe I need to get right with God and start praying, Lord, please let them be blotted out of the book of life and not be written with the righteous. Maybe I'm not righteous enough and I don't have enough hatred in my heart for that. I don't know. But let me show you something. Look, it was Moses, Isaiah, Paul, Elijah, and David. Against who? Against Israel. Well, who was Moses, Isaiah, Paul, Elijah, and David? They were the chosen generation of that time. These were the saved people. Why? Because the Bible says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. That's a blessing. Praise God for that. Now, the secondary application I'm going to give you right here is that throughout many generations, there's always been the good, the bad, the ugly, the righteous, and the wicked. But let me say this, there's always been the cold and the hot. Right? Those who decide to live for God, and those who just want to be lax and live in their so-called Laodicean era.
Yeah.
Right? The chosen generation is under the sound of my voice at this time. We are the generation that God wants to elect to use for the work that needs to be done here. And let me say this, too many times, and this dispensational garbage that people spew out, talking about, no, we're living in the Laodicean era. You're Laodicean, but not me.
Right.
You're lukewarm, but I'm not.
Amen.
You don't want to go sowing, but I do.
Amen.
of your dispensational garbage, your excuse to not do anything for God. And look, we're nothing mighty. We're nothing wonderful. We're nothing beautiful. But guess what? We want to be used of God. We want to be that chosen generation to do something great for God. But what's the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself, he said, 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And I want God to look at Faith Forward Baptist Church here in El Monte and say, I have reserved these people who have not bowed down the knee to Baal, the Baal of sodomy, the Baal of lukewarmness, the Baal of no soul winning, the Baal of no holiness, and I'm going to use them to do something great for God.
Amen.
This isn't Laodicea Baptist Church.
Right.
And it never will be. We'll burn this place down before it becomes a Laodicea Baptist Church.
Amen.
To get it on fire for God.
Amen. Yeah.
This is Hellfire Baptist Church. This is the Chosen Generation Baptist Church. God has reserved to himself these 7,000 people who will not bow the knee to Baal. Okay? No matter how much they criticize us, no matter how much they persecute us, no matter how much they slander and lie and hate and despise us, it doesn't matter. We're the chosen generation who's going to do something great for God here.
Amen.
Not lukewarmness. No. We are the chosen generation. Oh, but you're a bunch of nobodies. You can't be chosen with your little storefronts and your gate. I don't even know what's up with this. What's this? Alex said this is to keep the sodomites out. With your industry, disrespectful, cussing preaching, by the way, I don't cuss. Okay? Damn, hell, piss are not cuss words. These are God's words. And shame on the pastor that will look at a word like bastard and say, oh, you guys are cussing. Those are God's words.
Amen.
The words of the Lord are pure words, the Bible says.
Amen.
The Bible says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, the Bible says.
Amen.
A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And what better words to speak than the word of God?
Amen.
You guys have no tact. That's what they tell you. You guys have no industry. You guys have no tact. You guys don't know how to do... You guys aren't like us. Yeah, you're right. We're not like you. We're the reserved. We're the chosen. You didn't take homiletics. I graduated from Bible. I took homiletics. You know? And, you know, they didn't teach us to preach like this. Okay? You guys are a bunch of fools. Well, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. First Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 26, the Bible reads here. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, amen to that, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. Yeah, we're a weak little church that's going to evangelize this whole area. Yeah, call us weak, that's fine. We're going to reach all of Los Angeles. Go ahead, make fun of us. We're going to be out Sony after service today. While you're at home doing nothing, criticizing us and watching our YouTube clips once a week.
That's right.
So you know what not to do. We're going to go ahead and soul win.
Amen.
And just, keep calling us weak. Just leave us alone, call us weak. We're just going to go ahead and just do the will of God over here.
Amen.
We're going to go ahead and just go soul winning.
Right.
We're just going to go ahead and turn the world upside down.
Yep.
And spread doctrine all over Jerusalem.
Yep.
Where are we at? Look, we're going to preach the gospel to every creature. Minus the beast. Amen?
Yeah.
We're going to knock every door in Los Angeles and then some. We're going to confound the wise and the mighty. You know, the wise church and the mighty church with their, high steeple, few people. All the beautiful buildings that you see all the way all around. All these churches, all these well-known pastors, we're going to confound them. Because God's going to use our weak little church to do something great.
Yeah, amen.
Verse 28, and base things of the world. I like what it says here. And things which are what? Despised. You think we're despised today?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do you think Faith Word is despised? Since the start of this church, like 3 weeks ago, I've received more despised comments than I've ever received before in my life. From friends and family. We're not even talking about the world yet.
Yeah.
But we're despised. And let me say this. Don't get discouraged when people hate you. You need to embrace that.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to be hated. Because it shows us, it gives us a measure to realize that we're doing something right.
Yes.
Right. Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
But when you're hated, it's like, okay, I think I'm doing something right. You know? We got to get to the Pastor Anderson level where it's like, he's like hated. You know? We haven't gotten to that level yet, you know? Despise. The Bible says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. Has anybody been separated from the company of others because you joined the movement? I don't know. Has anybody been through that as of lately? I see that hand, the altar piano will be playing soon. Okay. It's going to happen. But you know what the Bible says? Blessed are ye. You ought to rejoice. Yeah, it's heartbreaking when family separates from you. Of course. Why? Because we love our family. We want our family to join us. We don't want them to criticize us. But you know what? It's either Christ or family, and guess what we're going to choose? Christ.
Amen.
It's either Christ or fame. What are we going to choose? Christ.
Amen.
It's either Christ or the praises of men. No, Christ Amen. Is what we want. And it's going to cost us a little bit. We're going to have to shed some tears. It's going to hurt. But you know that's worth it in the end.
Amen.
Blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. They're going to say you're evil. Let me say this, may this church be here for decades on end.
Yep.
I hope everyone who's here today will continue to come and be here and be a part of the work.
Amen.
Why? Because there's a great work that needs to be done. And you know what? We're going to go through persecution. People are going to call you evil. Don't buckle. Stay where you're at. Don't be moved. Let's do something for God. Why? Because we're the chosen generation.
Amen.
Verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 says, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God, what? Chosen. Yea, things which are not to bring the things which are that are. That's pretty interesting. You bunch of nothings. Yeah, we're going to make nothing. This nothing is going to make nothing of what's existing right now. All these false doctrines of repent of your sins, all this false doctrine of Zionism, all this pre-trib false doctrine, we're going to bring that stuff to naught.
Yep.
We're going to tear down those things and teach the generation to come what the Bible really says. We're a bunch of nothings that are going to bring to nothing the things that are highly esteemed among men but are an abomination in the sight of God.
Amen.
Look, I'm thankful for a church that where there's two guys standing back there, if Sodomite comes in, they're going to like double-leg him right outside the house.
Yep.
Outside this church. Yep. Amen. I want my children to grow up in a pure church.
Yes.
Now, I don't think Sodomites are going to come. Elmani's pretty ghetto.
Yeah.
I like the ghetto. I mean, Amen. Some of you may not have grown up in the ghetto. I grew up in the ghetto.
Amen.
You know, I can't go to sleep if there's a helicopter knocking. It's like, can someone please commit a crime? I need to get to bed. This is like a normal thing for us. Okay?
Amen.
And I love the ghetto. You know, we're not a bunch of, we need to be in a nice place. No, give us any place.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city.
Right.
Amen. And if they come here, then let them come. More rewards for us. Maybe it's a bad thing to wear in the ghetto, because then they won't come. Then we won't get ready. We'll see. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto the wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Look, folks, this is the chosen generation right here. We are that generation. We're not the millennials. We're not the greatest generation. We're not the baby. We're not Generation X. We're the chosen generation of God.
Amen.
That God wants to use every single person who's here, who's a saved person. You're elect. You're chosen of God to do something great in this generation. Go to James chapter 2. Skip James 2. I'll read you from James 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excuse me. James chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? You know, one thing that I want our church to have faith. It takes faith to do God's will. It takes courage to do God's will. Because there are times it's going to be scary. We don't know what's around the bend. We don't know what the future holds. But if we have faith, we live by faith and not by sight. God says, I'll bless that.
Amen.
For without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible says here, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I just broke this pulpit. Sorry, Alex. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath what? Chosen him to be a soldier, the Bible says. And if a man also strive for masteries, he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Let me say this. You know why a lot of Christians are not being used of God as good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Because they're entangled with the affairs of this life. They're entangled. The Bible talks about how the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and then become unfruitful. The most fruitful thing that you can do is reach someone for the Lord Jesus Christ to save people in this city. But you know, a lot of Christians don't do that because they're entangled with a lot of ministries in their church. Okay, let me say this. You say, what kind of ministries does Faithful Word Baptist Church have? Soul winning? Okay, well, what about on Sundays? What do you have for me? About soul winning? What about on Saturday? You have it? Soul winning? What do you have money through? Soul winning? That's the only ministry we have. Sorry, we don't have enough money to like invest in all these other ministries. We're not going to buy a bus. It's not going to happen. It's just no way. We got soul winning.
Right.
And let me say this, soul winning is a part of this church, such a big part of this church that everyone can get involved. Everyone. Not one person, every man, woman, boy, child, everyone can get involved with soul winning and be a part of this. We don't want to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't get so bogged down by the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in. Get the sin out of your life. Get right with God. If you have bad habits, sinful habits, get rid of them so you can be useful in the hands of God. Meet for the master's use, as the Bible says.
Amen.
A lot of well-meaning Christians are just entangled. You know? And what happens, there's a lot of activity going on. Right? A lot of activity going on, but guess what? Not a lot is being done. You know, they alleviate their conscience by being involved in all kinds of ministries, but the greatest ministry is not being taken care of. What is that? The ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
Soul winning. Go to Mark chapter 4. Sorry, go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Preaching the gospel ought to be the most important thing. In this church it is. And I'm excited to see many souls saved, even since we started. I mean, this is our second service here. We've already had like 58 people saved since we started the church in Dr. Rita's in Tustin. We're at the park, you know, meeting at the park. We've had like 58 souls saved already. Okay? And by the way, that's like as we're transitioning, you know, we're like trying to find a building and soul winning at the same time and then getting persecuted. We're like doing all things at the same time. We've got 58 people saved. That's more people than most churches see saved all year.
Yeah. Right.
How much more are we going to get done now that we're here? We have our headquarters right here.
Yeah.
And look, when we start this regional soul winning, this is big. Everyone needs to get involved with this regional. Even if you don't know how to soul win, we need to pair you up with someone who does so you can do some soul winning in your area. Go to your Decapolis and start winning people to Christ there. Because look, El Monte is where we're at, but El Monte is not the only place we're going to reach. You guys understand that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're taking over. You guys seen the YouTube, the FWBCLA YouTube? Pastor Anderson, we're taking over.
Yep.
Yeah, keep criticizing us. That's fine. We're taking over. We're going to go ahead and preach the gospel everywhere.
Amen.
Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your what? Affairs. That ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, the Bible says. Look, people are entangled with the affairs of this life. We want to be entangled with the affairs of the gospel. Let our conversation be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go back to, go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 19. It's important. We're the chosen generation that God has placed here to do something great for God. And throughout the decades and centuries, God has always had a remnant that He would use. And look, one of the things that encouraged me a lot is I'll meet people, especially since we started the church. It's like, man, I haven't had a friend like in a long time. They come from some Baptist church, anti-Anderson Baptist church, you know, and they hate Pastor Anderson. And they just like ostracized them, and now they're here, and it's just like, I feel like I got friends now.
Yep. Amen.
You know, I feel like I don't have to be like, hey, are you post trimming? Hey, the Jews are gonna But you guys have nothing. Now that we're just, you know, we don't have to be like worried that the police, the pre-trip mafia is going to come get us here. You know what I mean? We're the post-trip mafia. And by the way, we're not against, if someone's in here who's pre-trip, we don't care. Okay? Now you're going to hear a lot of this talk, so you better just, it's best for you to just convert. Or should I say, it's best for you to just read the Bible.
Amen.
Just believe what the Bible says. You know? But we're not going to kick you out. We're not going to ostracize you just because you're pre-trip. Right? That's a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
That's very, what's the best word I could use? Retarded. Okay? That's a dumb reason. You know, we believe in salvation by grace through faith.
Yeah.
We believe in the King James. We're not like, we're poster, we're using ESV. Because at that point, it's just like, you know, Kirk Cameron, okay, whatever. You're like on that level, you know?
Yeah.
But no, we're King James only. We're soul winners.
Yeah.
We're independent Baptists. That's what we are. And by the way, the funny thing, here's the really funny thing, is that these pastors don't realize how many post-trib replacement theology Christians are actually in the churches.
Yeah.
They think like we're the only ones because people are following us and stuff. No. They're all over your churches. They're serving in your bus ministry.
Yeah.
Hey, they're in your Bible college.
Yeah.
Just to let you know that. No, it's just, no. They're your students in your Sunday school classes. They're everywhere. What is that? This is the chosen generation. You know what God is doing? God is cleaning up the church, is what he's doing. He's cleaning up churches, is what he's doing. And he's using zealous nobodies, those who are not, to bring things that are to not, as the Bible says. Like, no, it's just a few people here. Look, I remember Pastor Trevor. Pastor Trevor told my pastor, yeah, we got him in our church too. I don't know what to do. We got him in our here. Post-trib and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, we're everywhere. We're going to go to the mega church. We're going to go to the little church. We're going to go to the medium church. We're going to go everywhere.
Amen.
We're going to take over. And let me say this. The chosen generation is not here just to be contentious. Okay? We don't want to just pick a fight. We're fighting because you're picking a fight with us.
Come on.
That's what it is. And what we ought to be doing is this. What you ought to be doing is this. Don't fight us. Why don't you join us to fight the world?
Amen.
Why don't you join us to fight the false doctrine?
Amen.
Why are we fighting Pastor Anderson for? Why are we fighting Pastor Jimenez for? These men of God, why don't we just join forces, get stronger, and fight the real enemy?
That's right.
That's what we ought to be fighting. Yeah. You know, look, there's a huge Chinese population here. In Roseview. It's like 60,000 Chinese people. I think it's the third largest Chinese population in America. And no one's preaching the gospel to them. You know, I want to learn Chinese so I can get the gospel to them. And I had someone text me and say, hey, you know, Brother So-and-so, who's in a Baptist church, they want to reach the Chinese, you know. And by the way, Brother So-and-so, he doesn't agree with me one bit. Okay? At all. But you know what I told him? I hope he succeeds.
Yeah.
I said, in fact, I hope he takes 30,000 of them, and I'll take the other 30,000 of the Chinese.
Yeah.
I said, I hope he succeeds. I pray and hope that he reaches those people for Christ, because we're not in competition. We're all on the same side.
Amen.
The problem is, you made it you against us.
Yep.
We're not against you. Look, we don't hate our brethren. They hate us.
Right.
Why? Because we're in a time of transition right now, is what it is. But you know, my son, he's knocked out right now. He's gonna grow up in this movement.
Amen.
He's gonna be like, preacher, what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no, it's post-trib.
Yeah.
You know, he's gonna grow up. Your children are gonna grow up in this movement. And Zionism, pre-trib, all that garbage is gonna be a thing of the past. But we're in a time of transition right now where we got to fight this. And as we're fighting, we're winning souls, we're doing something great for God. We are the chosen generation. What do I have to turn? 1 Chronicles chapter number 19, verse number 6. The Bible reads here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 19, verse number 6. And when the children of Ammon saw that they had made themselves odious to David, Hanan, and the children of Ammon, sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire them chariots and horsemen out of Mesopotamia, and out of Syria Maca, and out of Zobah. So they hired 30 and 2,000 chariots, and the king of Maca, and his people, who came and pitched before Meribah. And the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities and came to battle. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array before the gate of the city. And the kings that were come were by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him, before and behind, you ever felt like that before? I was like, man, I feel like I got like no one for me. There's enemies on the front, and those who are supposed to be supporting me from the back, those are my enemies too.
Yeah.
It's like, both sides, man, what am I going to do? Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him before and behind, he chose out of all the choices of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. You know what it is? He basically said, all right, let me get the best, the cream of the crop, and we're going to put them like in the hottest part of the battle. Put them in array against these guys. Look what the Bible says. And the rest of the people he delivered unto the hands of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then will I help thee. Be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people, and for the cities of our God. And let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. So Joab and the people that were with him drew nigh before the Syrians unto the battle, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, they likewise fled before Abishai his brother and entered into the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. What happened? These guys basically said, look, I'm surrounded before, I'm surrounded behind. We'll get the choices of the people to fight. And guess what? They won. You know what the Bible says? We need to be of good courage. We need to be valiant. We need to be men who are strong, men who have faith in God. We need to have a certain perspective and an attitude that says we're on the winning side. But he got the choices of the people. You know what God is doing now? He's looking for the choices among you, among our people. And not just the ones who are listening to me right here. I'm talking about the ones who are going to be listening to me soon.
Yeah.
You know, because they're in their dorms and stuff like that.
Big word.
You know? Yeah. Somebody preached on right now? What do you know? Nothing. I'm telling you. There's so many Bible college students that listen to us. By the way, I was a Bible college student. We have a former Bible college. Raise your hand, Brother Alex. He was a former Bible college. He was actually my student, if you believe it or not. And they're all over the place. You know what they are? They're choice. Young men. Let me say something. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life and just do nothing for God. And alleviate your conscience by just visiting the same person every single week. Visitation. Oh, I gotta see if so-and-so is gonna come. Look, you've been visiting so-and-so for like the last 3 months, and they haven't come. So, instead of that, why don't you go ahead and just win a bunch of people to Christ? Maybe one may come out of that, but at least you got something done.
Right, amen.
Sure enough, someone's gonna criticize me this week. Oh, criticize the visitation. Yeah, I am criticizing visitation.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I did it. And it's worthless.
Yeah. Right.
Now look, if you're in the hospital, if something's happened to you, I'm going to visit you. Okay? But I'm talking about, you know, visiting the same person to just say you did something. You've done nothing. Nothing. Nothing! Instead, why don't you just learn the gospel, learn the Romans road, and actually go do something great for God. Be valiant, be of good courage, be a choice person that God would say, I'm looking down, I see this church, they're not that big, they're not very mighty, they're really nothing, but those are the people I want to use to do something great for God. We are that chosen generation. And let me say this, maybe some of you in here, you guys, you're still not willing to get into the fight. You're still not willing to be all in. You're kind of straddling the fence. Let me say this, you need to be all in. You need to be all in for God. Be at every service. Be a soul winner when it needs to be done. Read your Bible. Pray. Give. Do everything that you need to do so God can look at you and say, I want to choose this person to do something great.
Amen.
It doesn't happen coming one service a week, folks.
Yeah.
Okay. Since I've been saved, I've went to every single service. Yes, Sunday school. Yes, I went to Sunday school. Okay. I went to every single service. Because I wanted to do something great for God. And I knew the Bible says that you're not supposed to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't be the manner of some is.
Yeah.
Be the one who says, I'm going to be here no matter what. I want to learn. I want to be a part of what's going on. And I don't know how to sew in, but I'll memorize the verses. I'll be a silent partner for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, for a month. I'll do whatever I can. I want to be choice. I want to be that chosen generation. I want to do something great for God. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be slothful. I don't want to waste my life.
Amen.
Look, God's given you a life. Use it. Don't let it be wasted on the affairs of this life. And Christians, those of you who may be involved, but you're not in all the way, you just have to get in all the way. The worst type of person to jump into a pool is the one who's like, trying to see how cold it is, you know? Like, yeah, maybe I don't want to. No, just do a cannonball. Just jump in there, man. And look, if it's cold, it'll get warm soon.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Just jump in. Now make sure there's water inside. Right? But let me say this, Faith Forward, we got some water.
Yeah,
and it's deep.
That's right.
It's very deep. Just jump in. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know what, when the Bible says a peculiar people, that means these are people who are set apart from everyone else. They're very distinct from everyone else. And there's all kinds of independent fundamental Baptists in America. There's all kinds of independent fundamental Baptists in California. But you know what? Let's be the peculiar ones.
Yeah, right.
Let's be the weird ones. Okay? Not just being weird for weird's sake, no. So we can do something great for God.
Yeah.
And why? Because the Bible says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, the Bible says. Okay? We're supposed to show forth the praises of his glory. And let me say this, we're not trying to be a church that makes money, okay? And the money that we get, you know, by the way, you invest in this church, you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to see a lot of people saved. You're going to see visible results is what you're going to see. And you're not just going to put money in the plate, just say, what happens, who's stealing, who's embezzling money, who's doing this? No. It's going to the work of God.
Yeah, amen. Right.
Okay? I say that jokingly, but it's the truth. Because most pastors, that's what they do. They just put the money right into their pocket. Take the special offer for themselves. Look, money is not the important thing. And let me say this. The love of money is the root of all evil. We don't want to do that. We want to use God's resources and use it for the glory of God. And the glory of God is this, to see people saved here. We are that chosen generation. But it's your choice if you want to be a part of it or not. You know, you can walk out of this room and just say, man, that was a good sermon, man. That was really good, you know. He broke that pulpit. You think his hand hurts? I'll just answer your question. Yes, it hurts. Give me some ice. Or you can walk out of here and say, man, I want to be that chosen generation. God, help me to be that chosen generation. I'm going to be that. I'm going to be that father. I'm going to be that wife. I'm going to be that child. I'm going to be that teenager. Let me say this, teenager, talking to you guys right there. This is for you. You're that chosen generation. It's your choice if you want to do this. Because when we're dead, you're sticking around. And you're going to be here to carry that on. But it's your choice if you want to do it. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for so much for the word of God. We're thankful for David. We're thankful for Moses. We're thankful for Isaiah, Elijah. All these men who were peculiar in your sight. And all these men that really stood out. And quite honest with you, we look back and it's like, man, these are the heroes of the faith. But in their time, they weren't necessarily heroes. These were men who were hated, despised. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would help us to embrace being despised, being hated, being separated from the company, knowing full well that we shall receive the praises of the Lord for this. I pray that you use Faith Forward Baptist Church to see a lot of people saved, much people saved alive here in this city and the city surrounding us. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.